One of the things that we do is we give our clients options. We don't ever wait. So for example, let's talk CPAs, right? Oftentimes clients will come to us and we'll say, hey, I'm working with the CPA. I really love him or her, but there's just this thing where I know that my taxes aren't truly optimized. How do I go about that? Do you have somebody that you refer me to? When we introduce our clients to any of our strategic partners, we tell them, listen, we are going to be here for you through the implementation phase, not because we're executing it, but to be that quarterback, but you have to feel comfortable, vet them out, interview that. If it doesn't feel right to you, not everybody is for everybody else. Make sure that at the end of the day, the decision has to be for you to work with somebody that you like and trust.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Eunicia Perrette is an accomplished financial expert and business owner with over 15 years of experience in the financial services industry. Her passion is to work with individuals that want to optimize their wealth and are looking to take control of their money. Eunicia, welcome to the show.
Thanks a bunch, Sam. Really happy to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I love it. When I transitioned from corporate America, I started out actually, funny enough, as a real estate investor. And after going through the trials and tribulations of that for a little while, I realized that real estate is still hardcore at my soul, of the soul of what I do. But I also realized that there was so much more that was happening from a broader understanding of truly how money works, how it moves, how do we optimize it. And so because of that, I started really a hardcore transition back into financial strategy consulting and helping individuals understand how they can marry the savings, the wealth accumulation that perhaps they have uptaken up to that point in time and apply it in some cases to real estate.
That's really interesting. You know, in the real estate sphere, and I'm guilty of this, like I am all real estate. Now I've got it diversified across every imaginable asset class, right? But a while ago, I stepped out of the stocks and bonds world entirely. I don't have a dollar in the stock market, right? And I don't necessarily know that that's the right way, perhaps, to go entirely either, any more than the right way to go is for the person that's like, hey, we're all stocks and bonds and that's it, right? And so kind of walk us through that. How do you balance that line? What do you advise people to do? Obviously, everyone's position situation is different, but just kind of break down your thinking there.
So my thinking there is, I don't think that there is a right or wrong answer to that. Honestly, Sam, I think when we're sitting down and thinking about where should our money be, my philosophy is that it should be in a place where people feel comfortable with it. You mentioned that you got out of the stock market entirely. There are individuals that cannot stomach the ups and downs, whether small or big, right? And that's myself included. I just, when I hear the stock market, it just, my heart starts trepidating. So, but at the same time, I realized that there are individuals that want to be there. And so the question is, regardless of where they are, whether they are in the stock market or maybe they are in the stock market and want to do something else, but don't know what that something else is, the question is, how do we find that something else? How do we find where the money can and should go so that it addresses the way that it needs to service us? And it also needs to address the need for us to be able to rest at night, right? People's money shouldn't be in a place where that gives them insomnia or heart trepidations or palpitations or anything like that. It needs to be aligned to our mission. It needs to be aligned to what we're wanting out of this life, not just for ourselves, but even for our future generations.
How do you do that effectively with your clients? I've got some good friends here in Memphis that are advisors, and their hands are really tied. They manage large amounts of money, but their hands are tied in the sense that they can't, by the rules and regulations of their own firm, do anything outside of traditional stocks and bonds. It's shit. Everything else is off limits. How do you overcome that in your business?
That's a great question, Sam. That's the reason why we structured a business the way that we did. So all of the new clients that we've been working with really for the last several years come through our consulting arm. And as part of that consulting, financial strategic consulting engagement, they are not in a position where we even talk about any sort of financial products. And the reason we don't is because people oftentimes feel sold literally into these financial products. So it takes your friends, for example, right? I'm sure that they're amazing human beings, but their hands are tied because of, you said it, right? Because of the company that they work with. So when I'm looking at myself years and years back, when I'm looking at my clients now, why should their hands, my hands, be tied over the fact that it's somebody dictating? That's part of the reason why I left corporate America. I didn't want my hands to be tied anymore. I didn't want to be dictated as to how I felt, what I did, what I said, constantly being walking on eggshells. And so when we work with our clients, everything comes out in the open. Everything from really that we kind of cover three core pillars: taxes now, taxes later. How do we minimize both sides? Most financial advisors, the most that they can help if they help is with taxes later, right? How do we minimize taxes later? What about the taxes now? How can we keep more of our money? The other perspective is how do we take control of our money? That's another area that a typical financial advisory firm is going to go straight into what they sell, sadly, right? They have access to XYZ financial products. Most of them are going to be market facing, and that's what the client gets to experience. Well, what if the client wants to be more in real estate? What if the client wants to do more of what you do, Sam, and they're looking for perhaps a partnership? Maybe they're looking for fractional investments. Where do they even start? Where does the conversation even start? That's what we do a lot for our clients. We are kind of the pivotal force that sits behind really the questions that they're asking. And then last but not least is how do we figure out what revenue streams and income streams will look like in the future? Should they come from people's portfolios, or maybe should they come from a mix of different asset classes that, again, gives them the permission to live life on their own terms and to find that freedom when it matters most?
I love that. I love the kind of idea, that whole ethos of how you're approaching, you know, finances. Practically speaking, I'm sure that there's some challenges in the actual implementation of that, because every person's going to come with their own unique situation. They may want to be involved in business. They may want to be involved in real estate. They may want to have other income producing assets. They may want to be in stocks and bonds. How do you effectively build that plan and then implement that with, you know, with your clients? Because I imagine, I mean, this is a highly nuanced segment of financial advisors.
It is a very highly nuanced segment. It's a segment that, to be honest with you, at the very beginning when I first left corporate America and really left strategy consulting, I honestly thought I was going away from it. And the more I asked the question of multiple questions, what are we missing? What's happening with taxes? What is there that people don't know? What is there that I don't know? Because I had the power to ask those questions truly as a strategy consultant, I started uncovering these blind spots. Just like you said, it's multifaceted. And so then the question becomes, how do you implement it? How do you deploy? And one of the things that I tell my clients is when we work together, we are not jacks of all trades, because we don't want to become masters of none. But we don't just hand those relationships over and we say, congratulations, good luck, you're on your own. We truly become the quarterback. So a lot of our clients will tell you that what we do is the equivalent of, funny enough, herding cats. You'll hear me talk about that often. And our clients ourselves are asking, how are you able to do all of this? We're able to do it because of the expertise that our team has, because of the expertise that I bring to the table, which is so unique. It's not something that a typical financial advisor has in their toolbox, but also the strategic partnerships that we have with our partners in order to be able to really deliver value across whatever facets that our clients need.
Talk to me, when you say strategic partnerships, what does that mean?
So think about, not long ago, somebody came to me as an example and said, hey, Eunicia, we've got this particular project we're doing in Augusta, Georgia. It was a real estate investment. We're looking for investors. At that particular time, I didn't know that specific investor group. So a client comes, you know, similarly, right? Clients with a lot of money will get targeted and will get, you know, they're knocked on their doors by specific individuals and investors on, hey, do this. And, you know, showing, you know, glitz and glamour. And oftentimes they don't know how to decipher the right from wrong because they don't know who those people are. So our strategic partners, for example, will be in situations where they do, as an example, fractional investments. So now when the client says, hey, I want to my money to work harder for me in real estate, how do you go about that? We are able to introduce them to those strategic partners that have been vetted, right? We know, we look over their trajectory over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and we know that, hey, these guys or gals are here for the long haul. We see the results that they've delivered for other clients. And because of that, now the client doesn't go in blind trusting, you know, somebody just because they found them on the internet, but rather they know that, hey, Eunicia has seen them, our partners have seen them, they know, and these people know each other. So nobody is running away with anybody else's money, kind of thing. Of course, all investments bear a risk, but at least being able to eliminate the risk of not knowing who you're dealing with is so, so critical.
Absolutely. And that's one of the questions I would, you know, probably have if I were in your shoes, is going, how do we properly vet the people? Because, I mean, there are endless, as you know, endless supplies of, like, I think you said, glitz and glamour or shiny brochures that promise you the world. And it's like, I mean, I get them all the time. Even in real estate, I get them because I'm a passive investor in a lot of different asset classes. And I'm just like, absolutely not. I can just tell you both from the composition of the team, the deal. I mean, in 20 seconds, I can generally know if I'm going to throw it in the round bin or talk about it further. And, you know, for you, I would imagine that's even more complicated because maybe you're not in real estate full time, but then you also see you have the real estate component. You probably have a business component. You got a lot of different things coming at you at once. What are some ways or some tools that you guys use to vet potential partners? Because once you recommend or say, hey, this looks okay, I'm certain your clients are also going to be kind of going, hey, Eunicia, you said this was okay. How do you work through all that?
Well, one of the things that we do is we give our clients options. We don't ever wait. So for example, let's talk CPAs, right? Oftentimes clients will come to us and we'll say, hey, I'm working with the CPA. I really love him or her, but there's just this thing where I know that my taxes aren't truly really optimized. How do I go about that? Do you have somebody that you refer me to? So when we introduce our clients to any of our strategic partners, we tell them, listen, we are going to be here for you through the implementation phase, not because we're executing it, but to be that quarterback. But you have to feel comfortable, vet them out, interview them. If it doesn't feel right to you, not everybody is for everybody else. Make sure that, you know, at the end of the day, the decision has to be for you to work with somebody that you like and trust. So it's not just about us pairing people up with the specific investors. The client also needs to feel comfortable, because the last thing, that's one of the things that happens in financial advisory, right? With typical financial advisory is, well, you said that this is going to work. Well, I mean, again, all investment bears risk. I don't ever want the clients. And part of the reason why what has spun the way that we work on that consulting basis is clients coming back with questions 1-2 years later, whether it was a good or a bad decision on their part, to say, well, can you help me understand why we made this decision? Well, I'll be darned. When you're making a decision and we're sitting there for hours and hours and hours and hours of talking through the strategy, I want the client to assume some responsibility on, hey, we made the decision together. You ultimately said, yes, this is what I want to do. I don't ever want that. That should never be turned on the other party, because sure, if the client is empowered and they understand their options, now it's not one of those things where I'm just going to be able to place blame, but rather somebody on your podcast said it's learning money, right? We learn from our mistakes. We learn from going through the motions and from figuring out some investments will work better than ours than others. Those that don't work as well, guess what? They're going to be a learning platform for the next opportunity, right? And so we're also in the process of working with our clients. In addition from us just giving that value, we're also looking for the clients that are willing and able to think outside of the box. Because if mindset isn't there, you probably know better than most, nothing's going to happen right.
Absolutely. You know, on your website there, you've got the 5 biggest financial pitfalls checklist, which I think is something if you're listening to this, it's at euniciaperrette.com. One of the things you have on there is preventing unnecessary leakage. What do you guys do when you're auditing someone's spending, when you're auditing their investments? What does that mean to you?
Oftentimes clients don't understand, don't even realize that they have money that's hiding away. They don't know that they're burning money unknowingly, right, on different things. So think of, for example, taxes. I'm going to go back to taxes. Oftentimes people don't know, especially high income earners that are in corporate America making multi six-figure incomes. They don't understand that they have options to minimize their tax exposure. And in many cases, they're just thinking that, hey, I get to pay taxes because I make a lot of money. That's wonderful. But the reality is the tax code wasn't written for the W-2 employee. So how do we shift that paradigm? How do we get those people in a situation where they can actually minimize, right, and stop the leakage on the tax front? So that's one. The other thing is oftentimes individuals don't understand that they have a lot of leakage in the form of fees, excessive fees that are hidden within their portfolio, especially if it's a financial portfolio. One of the things that we do for our clients is we're upfront and honest. Whenever they're looking at specific ways of structuring their portfolio, we will show them this is what good, bad, and ugly looks like. And when they realize, oftentimes we're actually able to do that with financial vehicles that might already be in their portfolio. We're able to show them that. Oftentimes, we see multipliers to the tune of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars that would otherwise be left on the table. Why? Because of those excessive fees that the client never realizes are hidden inside of their financial portfolio or how some of the things are structured. And so as you can imagine, when they realize that, hey, if I just tweak this and I restructure it this way, I can get an additional 900 some thousand dollars to my bottom line between now and the next 25 years, that's pretty big. And so those are kind of the results that we're always looking for our clients, to minimize a lot of the risk, to get them the confidence that, hey, I know that I'm in good hands.
Right. That's absolutely interesting. Yeah. And I love what you said there about taxes now versus later, because I feel like that's something we commonly get to hit. in real estate is the tax advantages, right? I mean, it's if you're not, but so often, you know, we're taught, especially with traditional finances, is like, okay, which retirement account would you like? You know, is it a Roth IRA or do you want traditional? You want to pay tax now or do you want to pay it later? Like, and there's just so many more options out there, especially when it comes to taxes and fees and things like that, that I love the leakage idea there. One other point that you had on here that I wanted to take advantage of when you say it says take advantage of simple concepts the financial industry doesn't want you to easily understand. What are a couple of those things maybe that come to mind when I read that?
Well, take a real estate. We're going to go back to real estate here for a second. We have a lot of clients that are in real estate portfolios, whether it be because they wanted to do it on a personal note or truly diversify. Oftentimes, when some of those individuals are looking to divest their portfolios, in many cases, they don't know that there are ways to circumvent those capital gains, right? And so because they don't know, financial advisors won't tell you. Oftentimes, CPAs won't tell you because unless you're dealing with a CPA that is specialized in real estate divestiture or business divestitures, right? When people sell their businesses, how can we squeeze as much value out of that business because you've built it over time and make sure that at the same time we minimize your tax exposure on the back end? That is not something that if you just out there selling your business is going to happen. It just won't. It has to be designed in advance. It has to be caught in advance. So I'll give you an example of what the wrong mindset looks like. One of our real estate partners, Transactional Real Estate, was helping a client moving down from New York. Up there, they had a small real estate portfolio to the tune of several million dollars. And when they moved to Georgia, their whole idea was they wanted to make sure that they stay in real estate. Well, that's wonderful. But they could have easily, instead of just doing the 1031 exchange and being stuck within those short timeframes of finding the right opportunity, especially in a hot market, they could have easily repositioned those assets to where they pretty much circumvented the capital gains and repositioned the money to the point where they could have really invested it however they wanted. It could have still been in real estate, but they would have been able to keep so much more out of the hard-earned portfolio that they had built over time. And so that's kind of, it's how do we find those unrealized gains without that mindset, which is one of the five pitfalls as well. It's not going to happen because guess what? Those particular individuals, they said, no, we just really want to stay in real estate. We really want to have the brick and mortar. We really want to have the multifamily. And so even if we pay more, we just want it. Well, you're going to get what you get at that point in time, right? Versus being strategic and making more out of that transaction overall.
It's amazing what a little planning can do in situations like that. And it hurts so often. I'm sure you see it more often even than I do. When you see a business exit or something to that effect, and you go, oh my gosh, we could have cut your tax bill by more than 50% if we had just planned in advance. So
what about eliminating the tax bill altogether? And maybe it'll cost you 10 to 15% and you get to really play with your money to the point where you become your own bank. That is real. But people don't know about it, right?
Right. Absolutely. I love it. Eunicia, I've enjoyed our time today. Thank you for coming on. Love the work you're doing. And I know it probably puts a more administrative burden on you as a financial advisor, but I think it's so needed in our industry, you know, just where we are today in the financial advising world. So thanks for doing what you do. Certainly appreciate it. Final few questions here. What is one mistake you can help our listeners avoid? And maybe we'll keep this, you know, pertaining to financial advising. What is one mistake you can help our listeners avoid and how would you avoid it?
Ask questions. Make sure you ask lots of questions. And when in doubt, make sure that you're asking the question of what is your financial team doing for you? That's something that we didn't really talk about. If your financial team isn't either meeting or talking or somehow communicating about what's happening with your financials, you are probably here yet again, leaving money on the table. So if your financial team isn't talking, reach out to us. We'll give you some of the tips to identify how you could be making them talk. But the reality is, there's a chance you may not because they just don't think that way. And so in that case, you will again need the open mind to say, okay, how do we experience that level of uncertainty, but go to higher ground with our finances? And we can certainly help you with that.
Love it. Next question for you. What is one way you're making the world a better place?
We focus on really, truly doing what's the best for a client beyond what we got the question earlier this morning, are you a fiduciary? And too many people hide behind this title of fiduciary. And what I tell them is, would you go to any medical doctor that just has the MD behind their name, or would you do your due diligence before you let somebody operate on you? I would tell clients, stop just looking at titles. Titles don't really help you. Look for the people that are willing to open up the Pandora Pandora's box to show you where monies and fees are hidden. And when you found those people, because that's what we do for our clients, so we know that they exist, they're a rare breed. When you found those people, hold on to them, because they will truly be leaving money on the table themselves in order to make sure that they help you. But nothing comes for free. So if you want to make money, you're also going to have to be willing to invest in yourself to make sure that you realize those gains. Nobody does it for free.
Right. I love it. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Best way they can go to, you mentioned uniciabread.com, or best way is www.empoweredfinancialplanner.com. You can find us there. You can find resources there and you can easily message us from there. We'd love to schedule a quick connect with you to see if you may be a good fit for us to work together and provide value to.
Awesome. Eunicia, thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.